This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, what you people score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh my goodness, there's Bouncy, and then there's today, April the 11th, 2022. You got golf, you got Yankees, you got wins against the Red Sox, you have Aaron Judge, you have the Mets being beaned, you have Showalter staring guys down, you have 3-1 over the weekend, you have the end of the Knicks season. You maybe have the start of the Nets season here in the postseason against Cleveland tomorrow. You have the Rangers actually tying Carolina over the weekend, although the Hurricanes won last night, so they're back to 2 points back. There is so much going on. Oh, my.
Right. Our sports! Sports!
Yes, sports, sports. 6:45, little free-range radio. 7:35, Mel Kiper Jr. Before we get to any of it, and there's a lot, an abundance of sports today, we say good morning to Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. Had my first lacrosse game yesterday.
You or Milo did?
Well, I didn't play. Milo played. First game ever.
So that's kind of like when we're pregnant.
Oh, I don't say we're pregnant, no. I would not. One time, that'd be done. I would not. I would carry one child, give birth, and that would be it.
Now, you don't coach the lacrosse team, do you?
No.
Okay. So how did
it go? I'm not equipped. It was great. They won. He had a blast. It's awesome. I love it. I can see why you love it. I can see why your kids love it. It was great.
Yeah, it really is. I actually was heavily involved in lacrosse yesterday, too, freezing my butt off at Giant Stadium as Alex played out on the turf.
I saw the picture you tweeted. That's pretty cool. He must have been pumped. And Giants fan getting to play lacrosse at MetLife. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. And they won the whole thing, so he was happy about that, too. Yeah.
Any 14-year-olds? Or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I still can't get over that. I told Cassie that you had 11-year-olds and there was a 14-year-old playing, but he was in the same grade.
And it's all over the place. They reclass these kids all the time.
Yeah, but how do you reclass them down that far, though?
Well, here's what they do. So they're too old, and these parents, to give them credit, have this planned well in advance. So kid is like an older birthday for kindergarten, right? Then they hold him back. So now he starts kindergarten a year late. Then he goes to public school, okay? And then at public school, he goes through, I don't know, third, fourth grade, whatever it is, and then they take him out of public school, say, after third grade,
transfers.
And he does third grade again in private school. And then he starts his private school career. So now he's really, in essence, at least two years older.
It's a lot of pressure on the kid, no? I mean, this plan, you hatch this plan at kindergarten. The kid doesn't even know what sport he's going to play yet.
It's very, very strange. And actually, Alex is, and I don't like even when it benefits him. They benefited from it yesterday. There was a kid on his team. I was like, Alex, he is the best youth lacrosse player I've ever seen. I said, who that kid was phenomenal. He says, yeah. He's gonna be 14 in May. I said 14. Alex, you're 11. Yeah, he should be in ninth grade. He's in sixth. I'm like, well, it loses a lot of the luster when the kid is 3 years older.
Yeah, who's that large child? Well, that's John Tavares' uncle. Yeah,
Well, that's John Tavares.
John Tavares' uncle is like one of the greatest lacrosse players ever.
Oh, is that right?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, look at me giving you a little nugget on a Monday morning.
Well, I love a little nugget. By the way, we have there's so many nuggets to get into. And one thing I'd like to take a moment, because I think in this moment I facilitated your greatness. I won't pick a Masters champion. I'm not telling you who's going to win the Masters. That's too much pressure for me. And then Cass, you know, swirls in here last moment, says, don't be such a baby. Pick a champion. And who'd you pick?
Mr. Scheffler.
Mm-hmm. And yep. Who won this thing somewhat comfortably?
Somewhat comfortably. A little sketchy there down at the end. You can tell I'm nervous. But Scottie Scheffler, buddy.
That's right. So look at you. You see what we do for you?
Yeah, but here's the problem, though. This is why my wife was like, see, aren't you happy? I'm like, no, I'm not happy. Because I didn't want... Listen, I'm happy that he won. And it was a great moment. But then I find myself the whole tournament rooting for him to win. And that's not what I wanted to be doing.
So you didn't want Scheffler to win the whole thing?
Well, because I picked him, I wanted Scheffler to win the whole thing. But no, I told you who I wanted to win. I wanted Justin Thomas to win.
But he wasn't really in contention, was he?
He had a bad first round, came back the second round, and then kind of just, he was good, but not...
It's not like he was competing down the stretch for the Masters.
No, the only one that made it interesting yesterday was Rory.
He had a wild day, huh?
Yeah, he had a great day. Then he chipped in on 18, had one of the worst celebrations you'll ever... Like, Google it if you haven't seen it. It's like one of the worst celebrations you've ever seen in your entire life.
I didn't see it. What was so bad about it?
Oh, my God. He's in the bunker. It goes in like an amazing shot. And then he tries to celebrate, but like somehow like throws his club. And then he turns into Arsenio Hall, and he's giving it the woo-woo-woo. It was awful.
It was awkward. It was awkward.
Oh, it was terrible. It was, and then same group, our guy chips into the same group from the sand. Morikawa, same group, chips in from the sand. It's awesome.
And he had a pretty good run there too, didn't he?
Yeah.
What, he finished like third or fourth?
And then I don't know what Cam Smith is doing on 12. I don't want to get all sucked into the weeds here, the Masters, but that made no sense. None.
What happened on 12?
Well, no. So he makes an awesome birdie on 11. Scheffler makes a great putt because, I mean, that could have been a turning point. So now he was down three at the time, but he's got all this momentum because he just makes an awesome birdie. And 12 is where, I mean, that's where your round goes to die. It's just, give me a three and let's get out of here. Put a, you know, an eight iron, whatever it is, nine iron, eight iron in the middle of the green, take your three, leave. And he decides he wants to go right at the pin and hits it in the water. His tournament, over. And then
it
went sideways. Yeah, that just over.
At that moment, it was it. So Tiger, overall, I mean, wasn't in contention to win, but just making it through those four rounds feels like that was a success for him, no?
Yeah, absolutely, making the cut. I mean, you could tell, too. He was just happy he could get through it. He committed to the Open now, which is great, but you could see him walking, man. At some point, he was going to wear down. I don't care what kind of athlete you are. You know, he's what, 14 months off having his leg completely reconstructed? That's a lot for anybody.
So he did well, though, right?
Yeah, he did great. He made the cut. I mean, that was awesome.
Right. So that was the big question. Is he going to make the cut or not? He made the cut, and anything else is gravy?
That's it. Then you're going to get to see him again. He committed to the Open, which is, I mean, if he's going to win another major, a lot of people would agree that it's going to be at Augusta.
Is he going to, though? Like, realistically, is Tiger going to win another major?
I think he could win at Augusta again. I think he can, just because he's so familiar, just because he knows that course so well.
Boy, do they love him there, huh?
Oh, they love him. They love him. His putting let him down. He had 36 putts one round. That's just a lot to ask him, man. I mean, that guy hadn't played real competitive golf outside of playing with his son. He had back surgery, then his leg. I mean, the whole thing is just, it's a lot.
It certainly is. All right, so we'll get a little into the golf later during the show. But baseball. You know, I said to you I went 3-1 for the Mets at the end of this little four-game run. Bassett was, how good was he on Saturday?
Oh, my God. How much do you love him right now?
Love him. But I knew I was going to love him because I remember watching him pitch on the A's last year. He's excellent. And then Carrasco was pretty good yesterday. I don't know. The thing that would frustrate me about Buck is why it was so important for him to get Shreve and Williams. Like, he kept saying, I got to get those guys a turn. I got to get those guys onto the field. I don't know why that was so important, but I felt like they let an opportunity slip away yesterday.
I blame myself.
I do as well. Why? Why are we blaming you?
Because I agreed to the 3-1. I should have just kept my mouth shut because we had a chance to get greedy and sweep the series. But I understand why Buck did it. Just because it's, you know, it's first series, you won the first three, you want to get everyone, you know, pop everyone's cherry, get them out there. Right? But, yeah, I mean, as a fan, you want to, okay, we have a chance here, we have a shot. And then, you know, you have the great defense at first base from Pete. I don't get that. I understand he has to, you know, in his mind.
Because he's one of the faces of the franchise and he wants to play first base.
Okay, listen.
That's
fine. Fine. But if Dom Smith is in the lineup, Dom Smith should be playing first base. Anytime those two are in the lineup at the same time, Dom Smith should play first, and Pete should DH.
You're right. It's not even a debate, but you do know why. You know why, because Pete is one of the faces of the franchise, and he wants to play first base.
Which is fine. And if Pete wants to explain to me that he's better offensively because he's playing first base and he's engaged, I get it. I would be the same way. All I'm saying is that as long as Dom Smith is here as a Met, anytime Pete struggles defensively, this is going to be the conversation. Pete's here for his bat. Dom Smith is a much better first baseman
It's not even close. It's not even close.
But Dom those
Smith
are some of the things.
A very good first baseman defensively.
Exactly right. So, I mean, you gave one away yesterday. But, I mean, a lot more positives than negatives, obviously. I mean, Cookie Carrasco was good yesterday.
He sure was. I'm nervous about tonight, Walker on the mound.
I know. It sounded like Buck was nervous, too.
Yeah, well, I think he should be.
Because this Phillies team can hit, boy. So he's going to have his hands full.
He sure is. They lead off Schwarber, then they get Castellanos, then you go to Bryce Harper. It never ends. Real Muto's involved in that top four. It never ends.
Yeah, it's a good lineup. It's a really good lineup. But, I mean, as a Mets fan, you have to be happy.
Oh, like,
I mean, I love outside of yesterday, and part of me understands it, like why Buck did what he did. So I'm not going to sit here and start, you know, after the first series, nitpicking every single decision. But, you know, him bombing out of the dugout, defending his players, I love that.
That glare on Saturday, it was Saturday, right? Yeah, on Saturday night was sensational. Just glaring in at the Phillies and I mean at the Nationals and the umpires was sensational.
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, the only negative for the whole weekend was that Apple Plus broadcast, which was a travesty.
It was awful. Like I was concerned about it going in. It was worse than I expected, even possible. Like it was so bad on so many different levels. First of all, I struggled getting it. For some reason, so we actually have this little Apple. I don't know if you have this, like the Apple Plus box.
Yeah, I have the Apple box. Yep.
And it didn't show up. The game was not on there.
Okay, so here's the funny thing. So I have a new one. Cass got a new one.
We have an old one.
Okay, here's the exact same thing. So the old one's downstairs. Excuse me, the new one's downstairs. So I was watching it downstairs. Everything was fine except for it would freeze. Like I lost like entire bats. I lost, which aggravated me. So then just. I go upstairs thinking, okay, I have Apple TV on my TV upstairs. Same thing as you, though. It's the old box. Nothing. Couldn't find it.
Okay, so you had this. So this wasn't me. So then I called in reserves. I called in Ben, figure 15-year-old. I said, Ben, I can't find the game. So he comes in laughing. Oh, Dad, I mean, you're so old. What's the matter with you? He can't find the game. I said, what are we doing here now? I said, all day long, all I wanted to do was watch this Mets game. I was stressed out about Apple Plus. Now I'm not going to be able to watch it. So I go on my phone, I download the Apple app, and I'm watching on my phone. And I said to him, isn't there some sort of a mirroring mechanism where we can mirror the what's on the phone onto the TV? He goes, yeah, you actually can, Dad. Puts it on the television, and now we're and it looked great. Mirroring, and then the announcers start to talk. I'm like, well, this is not good. And I'm missing Ron and Gary and Keith, and the announcers are droning on about whatever. And they didn't break for us. Like, there was no stoppage in talking constantly. Some of the time was baseball. A lot of the time was not. And then I think it was like Lindor comes up, ground ball up the middle, goes off the pitcher's glove, looks like it's going to trickle into the outfield. Thing shuts off.
The same exact thing happened to me.
And I'm like,
a couple different times.
And then of course, because I'm so like concerned that this is a me thing, I'm like, look, I messed up. I did something wrong again. Then we have this group text, and everyone's like, my Apple TV just shut off. Just shut off. So great. So now I have to get the thing back and running, and then I find out it does wind up being a hit, whatever. Then these announcers are yammering on. They are the worst, just horrendous. And then in the end, the Mets find their way to a victory. So, I did not enjoy that broadcast.
I will say you've had one of your finest, like the culmination of your tweet on Friday and then your Saturday show. Tweet on Friday, I mean, the second you turned it on, you said that Ronnie, Keith, and Gary need to get a raise immediately.
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 Spot on by you. Perfect tweet. And then you follow it up. The game sounded like a podcast is exactly what it sounded like. It sounded like you were listening to a podcast based around a baseball game.
Yes. Yes. And then I get, and this is what annoys me. Well, you're so sexist because you don't want a woman to broadcast the game. No, I don't care who broadcasts the game. I'd like them to be good.
Yeah, and you're already in a bad mood going into it because, I mean, you're having all these different issues. And then, I mean, you had that one point, Cano, There's no one else you'd rather have up right now than Robinson Cano. And I'm like, Cano didn't play last year. What are we talking about?
Or how about
who led the Mets in hits last year? Like, come on, man. Like,
they
do,
said
do
that,
some
that
research
he led
before
the
game.
Hits last year?
Well, no, they asked the question, and she had already said it, but she asked the question, like the Ask Siri thing, like, let's ask Siri who led the Mets in hits last year. And you would think, like, going into the game, this is just me personally, like, if I'm doing a, you know, that. I already know going in that people are going to be frustrated. The game's only on Apple Plus, right? So any Mets fan that tunes in, or Nationals fan for that matter, is going to be a little bit frustrated because they like their people. So they asked Siri, who led the Mets in hits last year? No, no one had any. They had no idea. No one had an idea.
Great. Yeah, they were really on the ball. It was a
like, do a little research.
They come back from break, or I guess they're doing like a highlight package of the other games, and they miss an at-bat with the bases loaded. I know it was not good.
I think I think he said Jeff McNeil. I'm like, no, McNeil didn't have a good season last
terrible
season.
Terrible season. They had no idea. No idea. The entirety of the game.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Yankees this weekend. So they fell behind. I believe they fell behind in every game 2-0 early, right? Friday, first two batters. And by the way.
Well, hold on. I mean, if they hadn't screwed up the pregame ceremony, this would have never happened.
What an embarrassment.
Come on, Billy Crystal.
I mean, what an embarrassment. Gerrit Cole complaining. So they started the game at, he thought 108, and it started at 112. And he's saying that just if they didn't mess up the pregame ceremonies, he would have been better. Are you kidding me?
It's a big 4 minutes, Dave.
Oh,
big 4 minutes.
What an awful. Let's take a listen.
I got my routine. I got my Red Bull about to kick
please.
In.
Oh, please. Stop
I
can't mocking
waste.
Him. Give him a hard
I can't
time.
Waste, I can't
gross.
Waste that 4 minutes. I'm peaking at 108.
What an awful, awful excuse. Here is Mr. Excuse, Gerrit Cole.
It was an unforeseen challenge. Festivities got a little away from the schedule.
An unforeseen challenge.
If you heard that, if you didn't watch the game and you heard that, and you're like, okay, this was the reason why Gerrit Cole said
you
he struggled
there was
early.
A hailstorm.
No, like a 30-minute delay, something.
Right, right. The game was supposed to start at 108 and started at 249. No?
Yeah.
If you asked 100 people, okay, you didn't know anything. We're going to play like a game show. Okay, here we go. We're going to play you this audio. The game was supposed to start at 108. What time did it start? Here's your audio. Here's your audio.
It was an unforeseen challenge. Festivities got a little away from the schedule.
A little away from the schedule. What time do you think the game would have started?
Like well past 1:30. Well past 1:30.
1:41.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Right.
There's festivities. Got out of hand. Got away from us.
Yeah, totally away. Like people within the Yankees organization was probably freaking out. Like, guys, get it back on schedule. Do you know what time we might start now? What time, Steve? 1:12. What time are we supposed to start? 1:08. Hurry.
This is like RJ in our ear, like when we're like 30 seconds past when we're supposed
yes.
to break. He's like, get out.
Which, by the way, terrifies me every time. Every time we're up against when I know we should get out, I'm just waiting for him to start with that.
That's what happens, though. Like when little things get, like, you're not expecting that from a little guy like that. And then he
there we go.
We had a deal.
Big news. Jazz hands.
There we go.
I'm just saying. Like, oh, look at this cute little thing. Like, this cute little guy. And then all of a sudden, they attack your face. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what RJ's like.
So that's Dave. Now, Dave, now you will play with a lead now.
That's right.
And I think Rick's just going to go all in.
He's, oh, yeah.
He acknowledges he's going to lose, so now I'm just going to get pelted with insults.
Did you, not for me, you won't. Did you forget, or did you know and you didn't care?
A little bit of both.
You forgot.
I had forgotten, and then once I committed, like, no, I shouldn't say that. As I was saying it, I was like, oh, I think this is a mistake, and then I just said, you know what? Two tears in a bucket. I'm going all the way, yeah.
Just going to go all the way. Wow.
It kind of frees me up, though. I actually feel good about it now.
Why?
Well, because now I don't feel constricted.
You're so neurotic about every battle that you're involved in. This was a battle, and now you're just going to take the L?
Yeah, I'm going to take the L. This is what I'm willing to lose. I already got the Masters. I got that under my belt. I'll keep that one.
Uh-huh.
My boy Scheffler hooked me up, and now I'm just going to – just think of how free I am, though. Now you're going to be concerned. You'll have a funny joke. You can't say it, but now I can say whatever.
Well, no. If you go rogue and just go wild with RJ insults, I then can dabble. I just can't dabble as much as you.
So maybe what I do is I just go for the next maybe hour. I just get silly with it, and I free you up for the rest of the week.
It's a distinct possibility.
I don't like this. This was not the point of the game.
Listen, I respected the game. Obviously, he did not and does not.
This is what we do, RJ. This starts to really... this is the equivalent of me and Dave being held back in kindergarten. And then now, once we started this new week, we reclassified.
We reclassed here. All right, so, God, they started that game 4 minutes late, and you could feel it. I mean, he couldn't throw a strike, and then the home run, but they come back. Bullpen sensational. Yankees win. Then on Saturday, and he's leaving the game. I think he pitched, what, 3 1/3, Severino? Watching the game, and I can't remember who was even calling the game. Like, oh, that was a pretty good start from Severino. It was?
All right, so here's how the whole thing broke down. In this three-game series, the Yankee starters gave you 10 1/3 in three games.
But you have to factor in the fact that they had a shortened spring training and were at the very start of the season. No,
I understand that. I mean, I'm going off what I saw from the Mets starters as opposed to what I saw from the Yankee starters.
Felt like the Yankees treated these guys with kid gloves, didn't it?
Yeah, I think there was a little bit of that. But I also think it speaks to that there's some – I mean, there is still a little bit of – if I was a Yankees fan, I would still be a little bit hesitant about the rotation. I give Jordan Montgomery credit. I mean, he took one off the back of the knee, and at least he stayed in and he battled, which I thought was great. But, I mean, your bullpen was – I mean, the Yankees bullpen is a weapon.
Oh, it's so good. They tried out guys I never heard of before.
They went through they had 17 pitchers, only gave up 3 runs in the 3 games. That's pretty – I mean, and then Saturday they didn't give up a hit. So, that's pretty damn good. But that's, I mean, how that's not sustainable, though.
No, it's not sustainable. To count on 4 or 5 guys every game out of the bullpen. So, Severino went 3. He allowed 2 runs. They trailed that one 2-0. And then last night, they fell behind 2-0 as well. Come back, tie the game, Dahlbeck with the home run. And you give the Red Sox bullpen a little credit last night because they did a pretty good job. And they closed
especially
that out.
Especially Dykeman there at the end. Diekman. Excuse me, yeah. At the end. Struck out the side. Judge had a good at bat.
Judge had a great at-bat.
That really turned, though. That fifth, I'm not going to get in the weeds, I promise, but the fifth inning, you had second and third, one out. Hicks up 3-0, in the 3-0, and he ends up popping out foul.
Here's my question for you. At what point do Yankees fans completely turn on two guys?
Hicks and Gallo?
And Gallo, yes.
I could see it happening at some point here, early. I think, I mean, you're already hearing. I mean, your boy Ty is already all over Gallo.
But Gallo, he's a rough watch, no?
At the plate, yeah. Yeah, he's not, I mean, he's like, for the analytic nerds, they love him because he checks all those boxes. And he does, I mean, he's a good defensive left fielder, but still. I mean, that's not what I look for. I don't enjoy watching him play.
I mean, he strikes out all the time. Does he have a hit yet on the season?
He's got one hit.
So he's what, one of nine, one of ten?
Your boy Joey Gallo is 1 for 10, yes.
1 for 10.
Solid 100.
Yeah, no, that's a major problem. And Yankees, they went 2 out of 3, so you feel good about that. This is a big series now for the Yankees, huh?
That's a big series. Yeah, I'll tell you what, though. And RJ, you tell me if I'm wrong, because, again, I'm just I'm just a Mets fan, you know? But when you look at this team, and I get it's early, but, I mean, your best lineup for me has Judge in center and has Stanton. It has Stanton playing to free up the – like, I can't have DJ LeMahieu on the bench. I don't know. DJ LeMahieu's too good a hitter to have him on the bench for me.
Well, RJ's looking for an answer from you.
I'm asking him a question.
Right.
Well, it's never good when the guy that – I think outside of Judge, he's regarded as your best overall hitter, right? So when you can't find a place – and I know he played opening day and things like that.
Glaber didn't play.
Yeah, but how many teams have that issue? And it seems like a self-imposed issue where one of your best hitters, unquestioned, you really don't know where he's going to play every day. And it seems odd.
That you just give a long-term deal to. Well, that you just give a long-term deal to him.
I mean, to set the benchmark, yeah, we hope to get him 500 at-bats. 500. I hope my best hitters get 600 if they stay healthy.
It'll shake out, though. Someone will get hurt, and then he'll be in every
game. Yeah, but it just seems like a problem that they brought upon themselves.
Yeah, it sure does. Did you get... And I ask you this, RJ and Ray, as well, because it's not going to upset me or Rick. But do you get a little nervous every time the ball gets hit to Kiner Falefa? I know he's supposed to be this elite all-world shortstop, but I don't know. He didn't look like that to me this weekend.
No, I would agree. It looks like he makes up for some plays with it. I mean, he's got a strong arm, so it looks like he's going to make up for some, you know, some issues that he may encounter with that. But that's never the answer, I don't think.
It's his first series, though, too. Stop. It's his first series.
It. Yeah, it's early, and I mean, are you more or less nervous than when, you know, Glaber was playing?
Well, exactly. He stinks at shortstop.
Yeah, so.
No. Didi struggled early, too.
Yep, it's fair. Rizzo and who else had a good weekend?
Stanton.
Donaldson, Stanton. I was thinking. Yeah, well, Stanton was phenomenal. But the new guys, right? Rizzo was kind of a new guy, and Donaldson, very good weekend.
Yeah, Donaldson struggled a little bit yesterday. I mean, they had his number yesterday. Ended up getting the one hit, but, I mean, he had the 3Ks looking. But, I mean, Stanton's ripping the cover off the ball.
Everything's over 100 miles an hour with this guy.
It was really Rizzo and Stanton, offensively.
Stanton was, and Rizzo, too, had a big, big weekend.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Mel Kiper Jr., at 7:35. And was RJ kidding on Friday, by the way? He sends a text to the group. Mel can only do Monday. Do you guys want him? Do we want Mel Kiper? Yes. Yes.
It doesn't matter what's going on. We'll always, I don't care. Mel could do drafts whenever he wants.
So the plan's gone.
Two and a half weeks away from the draft.
Comes on Monday. We, you know, chop it up today. Send him his supply of fat-free whipped cream.
That's Friday, yes?
It's by the end of the week, yep.
Yeah. By the way, I'm if you need a quick Venmo, if you want me to get involved financially, I'm more than willing to do that.
No, I'm happy to do it for the show.
Okay. I just don't want you to feel like you're taking this burden on all on your shoulders.
I'll tell you what it is. It's an investment in us is what it is.
Yeah, but it's an investment in us, and I don't want you to be the guy that has to take all the financial burden on that investment. So if you need help in any way, you call out. I'm waiting for you.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure there'll be something that comes around where, I mean, you make the financial investment in us.
Okay, And that's absolutely fine. So let's get into to Aaron Judge. You said that you thought this was going to be a done deal. Clearly, Beltran just misspoke and shouldn't have said anything because this was not a done deal. It was never a done deal. And it feels like it may never get to be a done deal between the Yankees and Aaron Judge.
Yeah, Brian Cashman did Aaron Judge dirty is what he did.
What, by throwing the numbers out there?
Yeah. And you could see how Aaron Judge reacted after the game. He wasn't happy. He thought it was going to be something that stayed between them. Because now, I mean, you're getting Yankees fans looking at this thing and seeing like, you know, 30 and a half per year, 7 years. We're going to commit 7 years, 30 and a half. That's a good deal. I mean, it's a fit. Listen, I think they probably should offer him a little bit more. But, I mean, most Yankees fans look at that and they're saying to themselves, okay, Aaron Judge told us he wants to be a Yankee. He loves being a Yankee. So now, and I think every fan base, just when a player says that, thinks that, you know, the player deserves to give a little hometown discount. But this is Aaron Judge's one shot. This is it.
He's going to get one shot at the money, right? He's not going to be a free agent multiple times where he gets, you know, hundreds of millions. Why should he give the Yankees a hometown discount? Now, if you want to say it's a fair deal, I'm not going to argue that. I mean, $30.5 million over 7 years or 8 years is a lot of money. But why should he give the Yankees a hometown discount?
I don't think he should, but I think fans just naturally think, because when a player comes out and says, I love being a Yankee, and he's, I mean, let's say he's the captain of the team. Without being named the captain, he's the captain of the Yankees.
He is the face of the franchise,
okay,
correct.
So I think there's a value. I think people look at the Yankees and say there's a value to being a Yankee, just like there's a value, like you heard it with the Dak Prescott stuff. There's a value to being a Cowboy, being the quarterback for the Cowboys. But I think there's a respect factor that goes along with it, too. I think that's part of it. Like how you stack up in the league depends a lot on how much money you get paid. And Aaron Judge considers himself one of the faces of baseball, a superstar. When
he's
healthy, okay.
When he's healthy, he's a top five player in baseball.
Okay, so he wants to be paid like one.
Listen, I don't think he did anything wrong. And what would annoy me if I was a Yankees fan is that they told us the whole time that they were saving money to pay Aaron Judge. So now all of a sudden, the Yankees get to the 11th hour and can't give the guy what he wants. How much are we talking about extra?
Well, I think part of the disconnect, too, is, I mean, they said, so it was seven. So he'll play out this year, and then the 7 years would kick in after the season, right?
Right. Which would be, part of the 230 and a half, is that right?
Well, no. That's combined with the 17 he's
okay,
this year.
Okay, so you'd have to eliminate that 17 for this year for that number.
Yeah, so it would be 7 years at 213. That's 30 and a half a season. I would argue, well, why would you make him make 17 this season then? If you're going to commit seven, just make it an 8 year deal and get him up to the 30 this year as opposed to the 17. Right? So make it 8 years at 30
correct.
And a half a year.
Correct.
But that's not something that they did. And when you look at it, and I understand why there would be some hesitancy from the Yankees. And I thought it would be more the years. Like, we didn't want to go to 7 years, or we didn't want to go to 8 years. We'd rather a 6 year deal. But you already told them, like, we'll commit to you for 7 years.
Right. That's what I don't understand. If the Yankees came out and said, listen, we won't go eight. Like, we just won't go eight. Or we think that you're too injury prone that we don't want to build around you. I would be okay with that. I might disagree, but I would be okay with that. But by coming out and saying, we'll give you the eight, right? We want to keep you on this team. But not giving him the number that he wanted, I have a problem with that.
Well, that's the thing, though. So what's an extra, you know, even if you get it to 32 and a half, right? I mean, that's what Seager signed for on average, 32 and a half. Or you get it to, you know, you get it to 34. So you do, I mean, you do 7 years at 34 mil a year. I mean, that's 238 as opposed to the 213. Like,
right.
You already told me, like, the concern with him would be the years, not the money. Like,
exactly.
The extra $4 million bucks here, I mean, what's that doing for, I mean, it's important to him, but, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, what is that doing for the, I mean, what is that doing to the Yankees?
And you heard him say it. He said, listen, you know, I guess he was asked the question, are you going to return to the Yankees? He said, I'm going to be a free agent, and I'll have, I'm going to talk to every single team now.
Well, but that's the thing, though. I mean, that's what would concern me a little bit if I'm a Yankees fan, is, you know, there'd be players that said, you know, you heard Juan Soto. I think this is a perfect example, because I was thinking to myself, like, who are you replacing? Like, you just told Aaron Judge you're willing to spend, you know, 30 and a half a year. Like, who are you replacing Aaron Judge's production with? Like, who are you going to go out and get? Right? Juan Soto would be someone that I would want, right? Younger.
Yeah, but you're not going to get him for $30.5 million.
Well, he turned down $350 million. But here's what I would say to that. Juan Soto kind of made you feel like, oh, he wants to be in New York. Well, you have competition in New York now. You're not the only New York team that's willing to go outspend.
Not anymore.
People.
You're not.
So you have competition. I mean, Steve Cohen will outspend you all day, every day.
Every single day. And that's how he makes his trademark, is by, you know what, you go X, I go Y. I have more money than you, and I'm gonna show you now that I have more money than you. Would you be at all surprised if Aaron Judge was the Mets starting right fielder next season?
I would be surprised.
You would?
Yeah, I would be surprised. Just because I think they have their eye on Juan Soto. So, I mean, why would I lock into Aaron Judge? I would have the same injury concerns that the Yankees have. Anthony Rendon.
But what injury concerns do the Yankees have? They just offered the guy an 8-year deal.
Well, and yep, no, they offered a 7-year deal. Yeah, but I mean, but here's the other thing though. Is it the reason why I released the number is because for a lot of people they feel like that's a fair deal, but at the same time we know he's not going to take it.
It is a fair deal.
Okay, but you just said it. So if deep down inside, I know he's the face of the franchise. So we would look stupid if we just let him walk. But we offer him a deal that seems fair to people, knowing he's not going to take it. Because you already know what they were asking. If he's asking for $36 million a year and you offer him 30 and a half, what, he's going to say yes? No, of course he's not going to say yes to that.
So
like,
you're
you have the
games.
Parameters.
So why not just come out and say, we don't, with the injury history, we don't want this guy on a 7 or 8 year deal. We don't want him. We want to move on.
Because Yankees fans won't accept that, because they just told the Yankees fan that we're not going to sign Correa, we're not going to bring in Freddie Freeman, because we have to make a substantial commitment to Aaron Judge.
I'll tell you what, and it's more apparent all the time, and I know it's shocking to some people, this is not the George Steinbrenner Yankees.
No,
it is
of course
not.
Anthony Rendon, just so people know, because they look at the 7 years and you know over $200 million, 30 and a half a season, and say, oh, that's good money. Especially when you go from making 17. And that's the other thing. Like, we're haggling. He says he wants 21. You want 17. Like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing here? That whole thing aggravates me. Anyway, Anthony Rendon at 30, Aaron Judge will be 30 in April. End of April, he'll be 30. Signed a 7-year, $245 million deal with the Angels.
Mm-hmm.
Who's a better player?
Oh, is it even close?
Okay. So, I mean, and then and this is what agents do, though. Oh, look, Anthony Rendon, same age. He signs for $245 over 7. Or Carlos Correa just got $35 a year.
If the Yankees wanted some kind of a discount, they would have signed him 2 years ago.
Exactly.
They would.
You can't let him get this close to free agency. You can't, because well, he'll bet on himself.
You don't think he's going to stay with the Yankees, do you?
If he does, it's going to cost him more money. So why not just get it done? Like, you know, if you let him go to free agency, it's going to cost you more money.
I can't envision he's going to be a Yankee next year.
I just don't understand why you would let it get to this point. Like, you know what he wants. This is what, you know, here's our deal, the 213. We know what you want. Let's find there's a happy medium here.
And then we'll throw the number out there, so we'll make you look bad, is what we'll do. Here is Aaron Judge. What was important to you as far as this deal with the Yankees is concerned?
What was important to me was trying to get a deal done. You know, we weren't able to do that, so... I think it was just kind of plain and simple. I'm not going to get into the details of anything. And like I said, I got to focus on bringing a championship back to here to New York. It's been too long, and we just weren't able to agree on something.
Could you imagine?
You gave Garrett Cole a 9-year deal for $36 million a year. That's another thing that would piss me off. You have no problem giving everyone else money.
Right. And we talk about all the time, homegrown guys. Well, people love the homegrown guy. Well, here, I mean, this is exactly what that is. It's a homegrown guy. You have your chance to keep him for the duration of his career, and you let him get away, potentially.
You just saw the Mets give Francisco Lindor over $34 million a year.
Yeah, that may not be a great deal.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. He's off to a pretty good start. But still, like, you just saw the Mets do it. I don't think Aaron Judge should be making more money than Mike Trout. I think that's asking too much. 36 a year is too much. But, I mean, let's settle, okay, how about 34 a year, 32 and a half a year? Make it 8 years and go 32 and a half. Make it bump up to 17.
They don't want to, clearly.
But bump up to 17. You've already committed to the 7 extra. So bump up to 17 and make it all in an 8-year deal at 32 and a half. So 8 years, 260.
Seems reasonable.
As opposed to, well, because now, right now, if you included this year, it would be 8 years, 230.
Right. So you're talking about giving him an extra $30 million, which I understand
over 8 years.
Right. Which is a ton of money. But $30 million over 8 years when you're the Yankees and you're worth, what, $6 billion? $6 billion?
It doesn't seem like a lot. But that's it, though. But that, for me, is the holdup. You could explain to me, like, if your argument was, hey, this is why the deal didn't get done, is because he wants 7 or 8 years, and we just don't think at 6'7", with his injury history, we feel comfortable committing to 7 years. It's more of a year thing than a money. But that's the point. And there's the point. So now we're haggling over, you know, $4 million a year, essentially.
Act like the Yankees.
But they keep putting themselves in these positions, though, man. Like, you wonder why the fan base is sick and tired. Well, I'll tell you why. Because you told us, as fans, if I'm a Yankees fan, you told us, now, we don't want to win one championship. We want to win multiple championships. We haven't been back to the World Series since 2009. And I don't want to hear about that, you know, garbage of 2017. I don't want to hear that. So you set those expectations. Well, how come we didn't sign Correa or go after Seager? Or
because we needed money for Judge. And now you don't have Judge.
Keep your mouth shut then. You keep putting yourselves in the spot.
Let's go to some of the calls. You're right. 1-800-919-3776. We heard from Passan on K-Rod last night, the Michael K. Alex Rodriguez broadcast. We'll hear from him in a moment. Eric in West New York. Good morning, Eric. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing? Long time listener, first time caller.
Well, welcome in, Eric. Welcome in.
So I'm a big fan of you guys, number one, right?
Thank you guys.
Doing a great job. I really enjoy the show. You guys are hilarious. And the guys behind the scenes, too, RJ and Santiago as well.
Right. So you would appreciate, right? Hearing more RJ and Raymond, right, Eric?
I would appreciate, yes. Yeah, it should be a four-man team. Why not? Why just a two-man team?
Yeah, we agree. All right, what do you got on the Yankees and Judge?
All right. Now, bear with me here real quick. Now, do you guys think that maybe there's an issue between the way Steinbrenner is making the decisions and maybe just letting Brian Cashman do more with his ideas than actually how Steinbrenner just going out and paying the guys that he should be getting for the team, like a Carlos Correa over a Donaldson, as far as like the money? Aren't they spending a lot of money on Donaldson to be on the Yankees roster instead of them just going out and getting perhaps a younger player that could be bring more to the table for the Yankees and the overall goal here of winning
World Series? Eric, I think the thought process behind the whole we're not going to bring in Correa is for the same amount of money, or right around the same amount of money, because Correa's getting 35 a year. You're going to get three. I mean, you get three players is what you get. You're going to get Donaldson at third. You'll have Wiz Falefa at short, and then you get Rodfred at the catcher. I would much rather Correa. That's just me. But I think that was part of the thought process, is that we get better defensively.
The thing
at short
that I think frustrates the Yankees fan, and they'll never get over it. You say, well, that was a long time ago now. Fine. Is that they are now fiscally responsible, and they never used to be.
Yeah,
and
but see, I don't even consider it fiscally responsible, because they haven't spent the money the right way. Like, the reason why I brought it up, and it's tough today because he's played so well in the first series, but, I mean, how do you justify paying Stanton all that money to be just a DH? Like, that guy, I can't have that much money always sitting on my bench as a DH. I just can't do it.
That
it
felt
makes
like
no
an
sense.
Overreaction to Ohtani. We didn't get Ohtani. That was going to be a big splash move. This guy's now available, had 57 home runs. We got to get him. And you got him for nothing.
Yeah, but then now all of a sudden I can't get Harper.
Who would you rather have right now,
Harper or Stanton?
Harper. But I think we're getting to the point where you almost can't hammer Stanton anymore.
I'm not hammering Stanton. And I appreciate that the way Stanton has handled New York, especially after watching Julius Randle and what Lindor and Baez did last year. I have so much respect for this guy. All I'm saying is, just baseball-wise, it doesn't make sense. Like I said, like, your best team, even if Brian Cashman loves Joey Gallo, loves it, fine. Left-handed bat, you want to keep that in the lineup. Him in left, Judge in center, and Stanton in right, with LeMahieu getting regular at-bats. If he's not playing second, at least have him as your DH. That's your best lineup.
Yes, you have too many guys.
Running Aaron Hicks out there every day is not good. He's got that obsession with Aaron Hicks,
but
too.
But you know what? He has an obsession with Aaron Hicks, and you had to sign him to that long-term deal. Right? You had to get Severino
money,
done.
Though. Yeah, but that's just because that's not huge money.
Yeah, but why do I want Aaron Hicks to a long-term deal anyway? Big money, small money, whatever kind of money.
Because he's a good defender and he's a switch hitter and all this
other
garbage.
Please. Anthony,
two big spots yesterday. with him up. Two big spots.
He's lousy. Anthony, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Good morning. Yeah, I think what they're doing with Aaron Judge is disgraceful. I think that they should pay him whatever money he wants.
No, I don't think that. I don't think we have to get carried away. I don't think you need to pay him whatever he wants.
No, I think you could. If you gave him $35 million a year and he said no to that, then maybe I think you have a better leg to stand on if you're the Yankees.
There are injury concerns. That's real. But you already told us you would give him 7 years. So now there's no excuses.
7 years plus the year he's got this season, right?
So eight, yeah.
Right.
But that's the thing, though. But if you're going to go 30 and a half starting next year, why would you? And why are we haggling over $4 million this year? Just turn the 17 into the start of the deal and make it an eight-year deal and right. Start paying him now.
Correct.
I mean, it
I'm surprised by this.
Because I don't think it has to be 36. I think at 34, 32 and a half, whatever it is, 34 would feel like the sweet spot. Like Lindor's making 34, okay, we'll give you now. It's 8 years at 34 a year. We're looking at 272. 8 years, 272, done deal.
Right. And they offered him what? Inclusive of this year, 230?
30.
All right, so we're looking at extra 42 over 8 years. We're looking at $5 million extra a year.
That's if you want to go to
spread 34. Spread out over eight full seasons.
And that's making less a year than Anthony Rendon, who makes 35 a year.
So right now, we're sitting here April 11th, and I know a lot of things can change. Do you believe Aaron Judge is back with the Yankees next season and beyond?
Right now, I would lean towards what Brian Cashman did. Really, really pissed Aaron Judge off.
So you would say no?
Well, but I mean, didn't you? Here's the
thing. What happens if the Yankees have another underperforming postseason and then lose Aaron Judge?
Yeah, Cashman has to go.
The fan base will lose their minds.
Yeah, I think Cashman will have to go. I mean, you saw what. Here's the thing, though, too. And I get, like, I mean, you don't let business stand in the way of feelings and all that other stuff. But you saw how that whole thing ended with Jeter. They did the same thing with Jeter. You're not worth
it. They told him to go find a better deal.
Yeah, he ends up back, but still. I mean, there's something to be said about how you treat people. And Jeter, that left a bad taste in Jeter's mouth. Like, Aaron Judge has been underpaid for a bunch of years.
When he's healthy,
he plays at an MVP level.
Yes.
So second you tell me, as a fan, that we're comfortable committing to him for 7 years, don't make this now about a couple extra million bucks a year. Don't.
It's a weird look. Here is Passan on the K-Rod broadcast saying Judge is asking for too many years for the Yankees' liking.
The New York Yankees would have gone up to a higher average annual value had Aaron Judge not wanted a longer length contract and had he not wanted to be at that Mike Trout number. Now, I get why Aaron Judge wants to be at that Mike Trout number, because since Mike Trout has signed his contract, the values of other contracts have gone up. That's just the way that the business works, you know? That's the way that inflation works. And guys are always trying to go and beat the previous record contracts. It was those years, though, and those total dollars that Aaron Judge was seeking that spooked the Yankees.
So I don't know. I just can't believe that we're sitting here. This is never the way that the Yankees wouldn't go that extra little bit to keep a guy they wanted.
Yeah, but you said it, though, Dave. You said it. If you were looking to get the best possible deal, like a more team-friendly deal, you already missed that chance. You missed it. It's gone.
You would have signed him to a big deal 2 years ago, and you would have paid him. You would have paid him less than $30 million a year.
Yeah, that time has passed. Now he can see free agency staring him in the face, and this is his one big shot to make generational money. So yeah, and they gave him the leverage in this whole thing,
and now he swings it moving forward, and now we wait, and now we see, and the better season he has, the more money he's going to get in that next deal.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.